Early on the first day of the week, the disciples of Jesus went to the tomb where he had been buried, only to find that the stone had been rolled away and the tomb was empty. Friends, we gather here as Christ's disciples on the first day of the week to celebrate the good news of the gospel. Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. Are you ready for hope? Are you ready for love? Are you ready for life? Surprise, hope, love, and life win. Hope, life, and love conquer all. Are you ready? Are you looking? Easter hope, life, and love are all around. Christ is risen. David. If you want to look at your announcements this morning, the meetings that are scheduled for the week are on page 4, Finance Committee meeting, Outreach meeting, the Women's Conversation Connection is on Tuesday morning. You will see in the bulletin this morning a flyer for Reconciling Ministries. Reconciling Ministries is a movement within the United Methodist Church. It began in the early 1980s. It is reconciling congregations, make a stand, an affirmation that all people are welcomed in for full participation in the life of the church. And it specifically addresses LGBTQ people because they have not been allowed full participation in the United Methodist Church. With the decision that was made in February, that adds further restrictions on the ministry. There's things that are happening in the United Methodist Church. John Budd said there was something in the paper this morning that talks about the church splitting. We're going to be having some meetings, and we would hope that everyone would come to one of the meetings so we can have the conversation about it, so that we know that we hear all voices. So the flyers in the bulletin this morning, you'll be receiving a copy of, everyone will be receiving a copy of the flyer, as well as two pages in the mail, email or snail mail, that will give you more of an explanation about what's going on. We'd appreciate it if you would sign the red pew pad and pass it down. It's on the inside aisle. Are there other announcements this morning? All right, will you turn to, in the black hymnal, 2270? We'll sing this twice. Please stand.
We'll enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say this is the day made. I will be nice, and he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise.
Okay, and let's join together in our praise. And this is a long one, and it's meant to show that we just cannot enough say that we are rejoicing that God is great. Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed.
Open the gates of righteousness.
Enter in.
This is the gate of God. This is the gate of God. This is the place where God answers. The stone the builders rejected is the strongest part of God's house. The stone that was rejected is our rock and strength. This is the day the Lord has made. This is the day the Lord has made. God is our salvation and our success. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of God. From God's sanctuary we bless you. The Lord is God and shines on us. With palm branches in hand and a song in our heart, we join the festive procession from age to age and place to place. Give thanks to the Lord, for God is good. God's love endures forever, and we came to shout about it. And will you turn to hymn number 322, Up from the Grave?
Up from the grave.
Let us pray together. Alleluia. We praise you, O God, for the power of your saving love revealed in the resurrection of Christ. As you have raised Jesus from the dead, give to us the gift of everlasting life, that we may worship you forever through Christ our risen Savior. Raise our voices in praise and lift our eyes to the hills of hope. Reveal us your presence, raise us up to new life, even as you were risen, that we may proclaim to the world, Christ is risen, Christ is risen indeed. Amen. You may be seated, and I invite the young ones to come up to the front of the church. Are you chewing gum? Oh, are you just ate a piece of candy? Oh, a fruit snack. Oh, that's better yet, isn't it? Well, how are you this morning? It's Easter. Do you know what that means? What's it mean? Tell me what it means. The Easter bunny comes. That's right. What else does it mean? Jesus was reborn. Yeah. Jesus, we remember that Jesus died on the cross on Friday. And this morning, the good day, that's right. And they went to Jesus' tomb this morning, and they were surprised to find out that he wasn't there. Okay? So I've got something for you. I hope you like this. No, I don't have tissues. This is just a box. Just a box. Okay. Here, there's a candy bar for you. I want you to eat it right now. Oh, no, it's there. Do you like chocolate? Oh, that's good. Okay. You want me to take the wrapping? Thank you. There. You bit your lip, huh? Okay. Well, I want to wait until you've got it all eaten, okay? Because you might need to talk with an empty mouth. All right. Okay. So, is it good? Mm-hmm. Is it good candy bar? Yeah. I got a few more of them. There's some people in my house today who like those. Okay? All right. So, what's this box?
A tissue box.
It's a tissue box, yes, but it's also an empty box, right? Okay? Is what was in it good?
Yeah.
Okay, so this is a box of goodness. Okay? But now it's empty. Where did the goodness go?
In the garbage.
The garbage? No, it didn't. No. What was in here?
Tissues. Goodness.
There were two pieces of candy in here, right?
Yeah.
And you ate them.
Yeah.
And they were good, right? Okay. So there was goodness in here. And now where is that goodness? It's in your body. That's right. You thought you weren't. Oh. It was. Okay. So now the goodness is within you, right? Right. Okay. So the reason we're talking about this is that we remember Jesus was in a tomb, kind of like a box. And is Jesus goodness? Oh, yes. Jesus is the best goodness that we've known in this life, right? Huh? Okay, God, yep. But have you ever seen God?
No.
Has anyone ever seen God?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah, some people have now. Okay, but did people see Jesus? I haven't seen him, but yeah, there were people who saw Jesus, and he was God too. Jesus was God. We say that. Jesus, we got two candles up here, right? One of them tells us that Jesus was fully human, and the other one tells us that Jesus was fully God. So Jesus was God and human, okay? But when we eat goodness, when we eat candy bars or pizza, okay, that goodness is inside of us, okay? So is the goodness gone? No, it's inside of us.
Okay? If Jesus is the goodness, I don't, and I'm not saying that the candy bar was Jesus, but don't we say that Jesus is in our heart? Okay? So the goodness, although the tomb was empty, Jesus wasn't gone. Jesus is within each one of us. Do you feel it? Okay, you get it? Okay. So where's Jesus? Within us, yeah. I like to think that Jesus is in my heart. Okay, yeah. Okay. So sometimes we can't figure out how the empty tomb happened. Well, not now because I put the garbage in it. But it was empty. Here. Now it's empty, okay? The tomb was empty. And the goodness came inside us like the candy comes inside of us. Okay? So Jesus is always still with us. Okay? Will you say a prayer with me? Gracious God, we don't always get it, but we thank you that we know that Jesus lives in our hearts. Amen. Thank you.
The first reading today is Acts chapter 10. Peter said, I really am learning that God doesn't show partiality to one group of people over another. Rather, in every nation, whoever worships God and does what is right is acceptable to God. This is the message of peace that God sent to the Israelites by proclaiming the good news through Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. You know what happened throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached. You know about Jesus of Nazareth, whom God anointed with the Holy Spirit and endowed with power. Jesus traveled around doing good and healing everyone oppressed by evil because God was with him. We are witnesses to everything he did, both in Judea and Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him up on the third day and allowed him to be seen, not by everyone, but by us. We are witnesses whom God chose beforehand, who ate and drank with him after God raised him from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sin through his name.
Dead are raised and walk in view. testify, surely this man was the Son of God. They laid his body in the tomb, and Pontius Pilate posed a guard. But death could not hold him.
Early in the morning on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been rolled away from the tomb. She ran to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said, "They've taken the Lord from the tomb, and we don't know where they've put him." Peter and the other disciple left to go to the tomb. They were running together, but the other disciple ran faster than Peter and was the first to arrive at the tomb. Bending down and taking a look, he saw the linen cloths lying there, but he didn't go in. Following him, Simon Peter entered the tomb and saw the linen clothes lying there. He also saw the face cloth that had been on Jesus' head. It wasn't with the other clothes, but was folded up in its own place. Then the other disciple, who arrived first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They didn't understand the scripture that Jesus must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to the place where they were staying. Mary stood outside near the tomb, crying. As she cried, she bent down to look into the tomb. She saw two angels dressed in white seated where the body of Jesus had been, one at the head and one at the foot. The angels asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" She replied, "They have taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they've put him." As soon as she said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she didn't know it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who are you looking for?" Thinking this was the gardener, she replied, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Aramaic, "Rabuni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Don't hold on to me, for I haven't yet gone up to my Father. Go to my brothers and sisters and tell them, I'm going up to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene left and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." Then she told them what he said to her. This is the word of God. May God bless the reading and the hearing of the truth of God. She was sitting in the doctor's office, and her oncologist said, "Well, we've come to the end of the road so far as your therapy is concerned. We've thrown our very best drugs at this thing, but now we've got to admit defeat." She could hear the steps of death approaching her. There are times when there is nothing that we can do to change our circumstance. There's times that we are at our wit's end. What then? A hiring officer said to the young woman sitting in front of him, "You have a very impressive resume. Congratulations on your college record. However, you're just not what we're looking for at this point. Perhaps your skills might be better suited for another company." It was the fourth time she had been turned down for a job, and she was getting the distinct impression that the reason she had not been hired was not that she lacked the qualifications, but rather because of the color of her skin. She thought that this kind of rejection would be typical in her future. And what then? She could feel her dreams dying, and she had worked so hard for them. When all of life's possible opportunities have been taken away, it puts us at our wit's end, with death being the most real, lasting situation that we let in. You know, we can watch our weight. We can have the very best of doctors. We can follow a good low-carb diet. Or maybe we are going to follow the Mediterranean diet. We relieve the stress in our life. But death doesn't care. It is inevitable that in the end, death is going to win for all of us. That's why we are called mortal. We die. And there's nothing that any human being can do to prevent it. But we are more than human beings. We are also spiritual beings. And there's some guy whose name I forget right now, and I always have trouble pronouncing it anyway. He says that we are not physical beings having a spiritual experience. We are spiritual beings having a physical experience. I like to think that within the congregation, when we are connected with a church or when we are connected with our spirituality, we know that that piece of us is more lasting than our physical bodies. That's what resurrection is. And it is the stories of resurrected hearts and new life that we proclaim. This morning we remember that it happened early in the darkness, before dawn, that Mary made her way to the place of death, and perhaps she was carrying spices so that she could anoint Jesus' body. But she persisted through the darkness. She persisted in doing that which was necessary in preparing him for burial. He was her beloved one. He was the one who had healed the sick, who offered forgiveness of sin and gave new life. Her beloved was dead. And in the stillness and in the darkness, she made her way to that stone that held shattered dreams and broken hearts. But this morning, our Lenten journey has ended. We finally made it to Easter, and every year we tell that story over and again. Every year we talk about that gaping tomb, those confused mourners, those unexpected and unbelievable encounters with angels, with a gardener. And every year, that movement from the darkness and from the early dawn and the sadness, every year we move from that to joy and to new life. And that's where we move today. Shocking disbelief. And every year, we meet the challenge at the heart of Easter Sunday. Every year, we persist through fear and darkness, to belief beyond what we know can be real, to welcome Jesus in the unexpected places and in the unexpected faces. And every year we decide that if we allow our hearts to be transformed by the very promise and the presence of Jesus Christ, if we will trust in our own coming to life again, it isn't something that just happens every year. This is the day we celebrate it. But then so is every Sunday of the year. This is the day we celebrate new life. But so can every single day. Whenever despair comes to meet us, we can decide whether hope is stronger than despair and whether love is stronger than death. This is what the story is about. New life. Resurrection. Easter. Beyond the challenges that we face. And some of us are fortunate enough to have challenges such as, do I dare wear white shoes before Memorial Day? You know, if that's the biggest challenge that we have to face, what a blessed people we are. But some of us, all of us, from time to time, have challenges that do put us at our wits' end. And we realize that there is nothing we can do about it. And even when we're at that place, when there's nothing more that can be done, even then, there is hope that can bring us out of our despair. And we tell this story today, but we tell this story every day. We tell this story with our lives because our lives depend upon it. This isn't a nice story that we tell just once a year. It's one that we need again and again because there is life in death and there is hope in life. This is not a tale of the past. This is not something that happened almost 2,000 years ago in Jerusalem. It's something that we live day by day. When Mary went to the tomb that morning, she didn't know about life. Mary had come from Magdala. And it was known as a wicked city in Maryland. Mary was reported to have had seven demons that were cast out of her. How do we translate demon? Did she have seven major character flaws, or did she have seven major devices? Did she have seven idiosyncrasies that it made it a challenge for people to be around her? Any way we look at it, Mary is a person with a past. Mary was a woman and faced all of the challenges that New Testament women would have faced. Mary would never be regarded as an equal, and her voice could never carry as much weight as the voice of the disciples. Some say that she was the sinner who at the home of Simon washed Jesus' feet and poured on expensive nard. Although Mary belonged to another time and place, she does represent for us, both men and women, male and female. She represents for us what we encounter when we are in need, or when we don't understand. If people could see beneath the surface of our lives, what surprises would they find? And Jesus knew hers. He was probably the first person who ever understood her. And if you walk through life being misunderstood, that's also alone, and it's isolated. And this one understood her and brought her into community. And so she believed in him. She trusted him. And being the only one, he was gone. She lost more than a teacher. She knew that she would never encounter another friend like him. He had healed her of her issues. He had validated her as a person, and now he was gone. So Mary went to the tomb. Peter and the other disciple ran in, and they saw the empty tomb, and they believed, and they went on back home. Mary stayed there. And so Mary got a gift that they didn't receive just then. John and Peter were telling them about what they saw. And she's looking, "Can you tell me where they put him? Can you tell me where you've put him?" She says to Jesus, not knowing it's Jesus. "Can you tell me where you've put him so that I can go and care for him?" Mary. Mary. And that which she thought was dead is alive. The one who understands her, the one who she was able to connect to, is alive. And he says, "Don't hold on to me." And she runs back then, and she can say more than what Peter and John said. They went back saying, "We believe, we believe." And she came back and said, "He's alive. The Lord is living." What hope. What hope was given to her and to the others that day. When I think about how hopeless she might have been, I'm reminded of a book that I read to my children when they were little. You know, children all go through that that separation anxiety at some time. They don't want parents to leave them. You experience that with your children? Okay. Well,
I did also, and I found a book that's called Mommy's Coming Back. And the book says, goes through these, Mommy's going to go to the grocery store and get milk, but Mommy's coming back. Mommy's going to pick up her bag and she's going to go work for a while, but Mommy's coming back. Through these different scenarios, Mommy's coming back. And the last line is, Mommy's coming back from everywhere she goes because Mommy loves you from your head to your toes. Mary needed that assurance that day. And seeing Jesus gave her what she did need. The assurance that we are not left alone. We are never left without the love of God. God is coming back because God loves you from your head to your toes. Oh, Mary, don't you weep. Amen. This morning, bring your hope, bring your love, bring new life as we share our gifts with the risen Christ. Okay. Let us pray together. We praise you, O God, and give you thanks that you have given us such joy, such grace, and such hope in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Let our gifts and our lives be proof of that good news.
Let all our words and actions, our love and service, bear witness to your power. For the sake of our living Lord Jesus Christ. Alleluia and amen. You may be seated. Jane, welcome back. Lou has been filling us in. You've been doing well. Would you concur? Are there other people that we would like to lift in prayer? Huh? Oh, yes. I'm sorry. Lisa, are you home? Oh. Hallelujah. Yes. Okay. Okay. For God's healing, we give thanks. Let us pray. How we love Jesus. Living God, hear our prayer. We pray that you would make of this world your new creation. Before we call, you answer, O Lord, and before we speak, you know our words. Let there be joy today in Jerusalem, and let there be peace among all nations. Let sounds of weeping and cries of distress turn into shouts of joy and laughter. Let infants grow and thrive. Let the older dance like children. Let every person have a home and enjoy the fruit of their labor. Let the wolf and the lamb live in peace. Let no one hurt or destroy one another. Show us, O God, the holy place that you have prepared, the new heaven and the earth that you promised. Show us, O God, and help us to live in that place here and now. Help us to be surprised by your healing. We pray continued healing today for Jane and for Lisa, and trust your grace and your goodwill for them and for all of us when bodies and souls and minds need healing. Give us your vision of a world where your good gifts flourish, where life is greater than anything that takes away from it. Help us live with your love so that we may be glad and rejoice in your presence with us forever. And hear our prayer as we pray Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Small corrections. He Lives is number 310, and we will sing verses 1 and 2 as a benediction, and then verse 3. You are witnesses to the resurrection. You are messengers of the gospel. Go and share this good news. Go with resurrection joy that we may bring Christ's living presence with our words, our actions, and our love. Amen.